Chapter 50. The morning sun had fully risen now, casting long shadows down the narrow canyons that snaked between the buildings of Old Florence. Shopkeepers had begun throwing open the metal grates that protected their shops and bars, and the air was heavy with the aromas of morning espresso and freshly baked cornetti. Despite a gnawing hunger, Langdon kept moving.
"I've got to find the mask and see what's hidden on the back."
As Langdon led Sienna northward along the slender Via dei Leoni, he was having a hard time getting used to the sight of her bald head. Her radically altered appearance reminded him that he barely knew her. They were moving in the direction of Piazza del Duomo, the square where Ignazio Busoni had been found dead after placing his final phone call. "Robert," Ignazio had managed to say, breathless. "What you seek is safely hidden. The gates are open to you, but you must hurry. Paradise 25. Godspeed." "Paradise 25, Langdon repeated to himself, still puzzled that Ignazio Busoni had recalled Dante's text well enough to reference a specific canto off the top of his head. Something about that canto was apparently memorable to Busoni. Whatever it was, Langdon knew he would find out soon enough, as soon as he laid his hands on a copy of the text, which he could easily do at any number of locations up ahead. His shoulder-length wig was beginning to itch now, and though he felt somewhat ridiculous in his disguise, he had to admit that Sienna's impromptu styling had been an effective ruse. Nobody had given them a second look, not even the police reinforcements who had just rushed past them en route to the Palazzo Vecchio. Sienna had been walking in total silence beside him for several minutes, and Langdon glanced over to make sure she was okay. She seemed miles away, probably trying to accept the fact that she'd just killed the woman who'd been chasing them. "Lyra for your thoughts?" he ventured lightly, hoping to pull her mind from the image of the spike-haired woman lying dead on the palazzo floor. Sienna emerged slowly from her contemplations.
"I was thinking of Zobrist," she said slowly, "trying to recall anything else I might know about him."
"And?" She shrugged.
"Most of what I know is from a controversial essay he wrote a few years ago. It really stayed with me. Among the medical community, it instantly went viral."
She winced.
"Sorry, bad choice of words."
Langdon gave a grim chuckle. "Go on."
"His essay essentially declared that the human race was on the brink of extinction, and that unless we had a catastrophic event that precipitously decreased global population growth, our species would not survive another 100 years.
Langdon turned and stared at her. "A single century?"
"It was a pretty stark thesis. The predicted time frame was substantially shorter than previous estimates, but it was supported by some very potent scientific data. He made a lot of enemies by declaring that all doctors should stop practicing medicine because extending the human lifespan was only exacerbating the population problem."
Langdon now understood why the article spread wildly through the medical community.
"Not surprisingly," Sienna continued, "Zobrist was immediately attacked from all sides. Politicians, clergy, the World Health Organization, all of whom derided him as a doomsayer lunatic who was simply trying to cause panic. They took particular umbrage at his statement that today's youth, if they chose to reproduce, would have offspring that literally would witness the end of the human race. Zobrist illustrated his point with a doomsday clock, which showed that if the entire span of human life on Earth were compressed into a single hour, we are now in its final seconds."